Thank God for our children, amen. Such a blessing to see them getting better and better. So thank God for our children. Appreciate all of you for being here today. What a wonderful God we serve. He's good to us. How many of you know He wants the best for us? That's why we have been given the opportunity to be redeemed. How many thank God that we've been redeemed? To be redeemed, even to be redeemed, is amazing. Simply because God could just have disregarded. If you create once, you could create again. He could have disregarded everything He created and started again. But when He made it the first time, He made it precious to Him, dear to Him, and loves His creation. No matter what happened in that creation, He's going to bring it back and redeem it back. So that's why we can sing the song, I've been redeemed. Eh? We ought to better sing those songs. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say it. We've been redeemed. To be redeemed means to be bought back, to be purchased. And what is the price for that? How many of you ever bought something in the store? How many of you ever went to the store? Let me see your hand. You been to the store? When you get to the register, you can't say, well, I don't have any money. Well, they're going to look at you. They're going to look at you and go in. What does that mean? To buy stuff, you have to have money. It costs, right? How many ever had money and you only had a little bit? You didn't want to really give up the little bit you had because if you give it up, it means you got nothing. So you feel that cost. How many know to redeem us, it cost? God gave His only Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish. That's pretty amazing to me. It's pretty amazing that the price was paid. So every person here, the price has been paid in order for you and I to have a relationship with the Father. That's the theme. Now, I kind of wrestled back and forth with what I was going to do today. And I got up this morning, went in several different directions, and I'm still going to go in a different direction, probably not going where we have up. And there's a reason for it. How many know God knows past us? We can figure it out. We do our part. We study the Scripture. We do our part. We do what God wants us to do. But how many know God goes past us? There's a reason for that. There's a reason He goes past us. And I said, Lord, what is it? So I went back and I revisited some things this morning. Early this morning, I was just revisiting some thoughts about who God is. Now, last week I covered that scripture in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim, God, as we know it, created the heaven and the earth. Now, I looked at that word Elohim, and we wanted to answer the question, does Elohim mean more than one there? And I think I gave enough information last week to kind of help everybody move along on that. You can study the rest of it for yourself. I was going to do an extension to that in the wonder of God's glory, because I've got stuff everywhere. And so I have some slides here in the wonder of God's glory, 40 or 50 of them, that we could go over today. And it really talks about, because this title is Seeing God in the New Testament. Seeing the Father in the New Testament. It's all over the place. If we look at the Revelation account, if you've ever read Revelations, it's only just a little over a couple of hands full that Jesus is even mentioned in Revelations. But the Father's mentioned 100 times. To me, that means stuff. If He's mentioned, He's the theme of that revelation. But today I'm gonna look at more of that, and this is something that we've been through. Okay, we touched on it here and there, but I asked the Lord today, I say, God, what is it? What are we missing to energize people? To say, I just want to serve Him. I was thinking about folks, just thinking about people. And I think about how hard and difficult it is for people to serve God. They've tried it 2 or 3 times, and it seems like every time they seem to be on right track, they get just broadside or something happens, and it just knocks them back a little bit. And they do that a couple times, 2, 3 times, you do that, you just get frustrated. And after frustration sets in, you kind of get the attitude, what does it matter? And you start thinking that you're not significant, that you're not important. Well, I want to tell you, all of you are important here today. We're important enough that he gave his only son to die for us. That's got to have some worth. He didn't just die for me, he died for everybody here. He died for people that aren't here, people all around the world. Think about that. So you got to see the enemy wants you to believe something that's not true. Now, once you get a hold to a lie, that lie can continue to go and it can multiply. Now, I want you to understand, the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. Not just a lie. He's the initiator of the original lie in the garden, but he's the father of lies, meaning the continuation of lying that happens throughout people's generation. And I believe some of those. I believed them with everything that was in me. And you believed in some of those. Sometimes it's a lie about who you are and what's your inheritance, what you heir to, what belongs to you. And you can live in bondage for a long time like the children of Israel did. They lived in bondage for so long, they weren't so sure that there was any promises for them. But they are promises. The Word of God describes those promises. And he gives them to us. But you got to know who God is. One of the biggest issues that the world is facing today. We can talk about what this one does and that one does and this one does and that one doesn't do. We can talk about that all day long. And everybody's going to have their own feelings about it. But there's only one truth, and that's the Word of God. At the end of the day, it don't matter what I think. Just because I think, it don't make it right. Just because you think don't make it right. It doesn't matter how we think it through. What matters is what the Word says. What does the Word of God say? Well, then you run into another issue because people will say, well, there's so many people see it differently in the Bible. Well, the Scripture says this. There is no interpretation that somebody can take as private interpretation. How do you get yourself from a private interpretation? This is what happens. We can read a verse of Scripture and we can say, well, to me, this is what it means. Well, how many know that it doesn't matter what it means to you? What matters is what the entirety of Scripture defines its meaning. Now, I'll just tell you this. There's no perfect translation of Scripture. There's none that's perfect. But we do have clear Scripture, what we call clear Scripture, that we see that majority of these Scripture are seen and clearly understood through other Scripture. And then they have what we call Scripture that are hard to understand. There's a few of those. How do we decide what to do? Well, what we do is we always interpret the hard Scripture through the lens of the clear Scripture. Not outside of that. Because you can take the hard Scripture and build a doctrine on the hard Scripture without even considering the clear Scripture. That'll get you in trouble. But if you look at the clear Scripture, and there's some things that are just clear. There's no way to the Father, this is what Christ said, but by me. Understand that. That's clear. There's no confusion there. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Think about that. That's clear. So I could go down this path today and deal with more, like a continuation of last Sunday service, but I want to change something up. Because I really believe, as I asked the Lord this morning, I said, God, why is it? Why is it that it seems to be so hard for some folks to really make a genuine commitment to you? And it seems like it's so easy for other folks. And I know other people seeing this, God. What is it? And this is the answer. Some people seek to know who the Father is and not even knowing that's what they were doing. They always had something on the inside of them that wanted more. They were saved. They were going to church. They were faithful on all accounts, it seems to be, but that wasn't enough. They never hit the easy button. They never put it on coast. They kept going forward because there was just something on the inside of them that was seeking more. That's what God wants for us. Remember, he's talking to the people on the Sermon on the Mountain, and Jesus is there ministering to them, and he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled." You ever wondered about hungering and thirsting? You can apply it to the natural realm. For your own self, you've experienced the time that you were hungry. You knew you were hungry. Nobody had to tell you. They didn't say, "Boy, you look hungry." How do you look hungry? Huh? You were hungry, and you knew it. You hadn't eaten in a while, and you knew you were hungry. You got up, it was early. You couldn't get breakfast. You run out the house. You worked all day long. You didn't stop. You got home that evening, something was telling you something. What was it tell? It's time to eat. And you knew that. Nobody had to tell you that. And what did you do? You sought for what would satisfy what you was feeling. You did that. Then what about being thirsty? Anybody ever been thirsty? Think about that. When you're thirsty, I mean really thirsty, and you need something to drink, you seek it out. Nobody has to tell you thirsty. Nobody has to show you, say, "Let me show you how you got to do to be thirsty." It's an experience. Thirst comes from you not having something that you seek to have, that your body requires. It comes to you. Hunger comes of the same purpose and reason. Because you need something, and your body's telling you you need it. Well, Christ takes that analogy. He uses that in his message, and he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled." To be in right standing with God, you first have to be introduced to who God is. Most people are introduced to the church house, to a fellowship, to a religion, an organization, organized religion, whatever you want to call it. You're introduced to that. And you can have feelings for it or whatever, you know, just, yeah, I like that. If you're a social person, you like social gatherings, you fit more well inside the church house. Because they do things. They have activities. That'll never build relationship to God. That's not what that is. Relationship to God is you knowing in the scripture who the Father is. Knowing for yourself. If the church house blows away and ain't no preacher, it doesn't matter. It don't affect who you are in God. Do you understand? It's about you and Him. We got to know Him. And we see that throughout scripture. So there's a few verses plugged in this series that deal with that, but they don't deal with it in the way that I would like to today. Now, most of you heard the entirety of this, not all of it, because I added some to it when I was on my trip. But I'm going to switch up, and I'm going to take you on the journey quickly as I can through some things that I believe is going to help us. It's going to strengthen us. It's reminders. Some of you heard these verses on several occasions. You need to hear them again. Because until you personally hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're not going to be filled. It's just that simple. No sense in me kidding around with you. You're not going to be. Now, when we were chasing it, how many know what I mean when we were chasing it? What we wanted, our ideas, our dreams, and doing what we done. Some of you can relate to this. When you were in the world doing your thing, you hungered and thirsted for a certain element. Day by day you did that. Some people couldn't wait for the night to come because they were creatures of night. They knew in the nighttime, in the evening, we can go out. How many of you know that term go out means? You going out tonight? Oh, yeah, I'm going out tonight. Where you going? Man, I'm going where it's happening. You've ever heard those terms? Is that foreign to you? You've heard those terms. This is what we do. Why'd you do that? Was it like some, you set a timer and the timer went off and you said something? No, you hungered and thirst for something. You were looking, you were searching. When you come to God and you're introduced to who He is, there's a genuine hunger and a thirst that comes on the inside of you. You can't figure it out right now, but as it becomes more and more a part of the habit that you have, that you just want to hear more, you want to know Him, things are going to change in your life. And you're going to have a change for the better. Is it going to be easy? Probably not. You might have some great days where you can say, man, I had a great day today. You're going to have some days that you're going to wonder, man, is He there? Is He really there? Because I'm not feeling it. Well, welcome to living the life of faith. Because that's what it takes to please God. You got to trust that He's there when you don't feel He's there. Because part of knowing who God is believing what God said. Because there's nobody can explain themselves better than God. Now, there's only one man that ever walked in shoe leather and lived on this earth that was perfect. There was only one. And that was Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, our Messiah. That was it. The only one perfect man. And we see through Him. Because listen, He never even come close to sinning. Not that He didn't sin. He didn't come close to sinning. Think about that. He didn't, even though He was susceptible to sin, He never went into the susceptible area a second to allow Himself to be convinced otherwise. Never did. He kept everything at scripture length. Satan says, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Now, if he'd have went into that and entertained that 1 second, he would have been in trouble. His mind would have took off on, like Brother Troy talked about last night. His mind would have raced away on him. But he stayed at scripture length. He stayed behind the barrier of what the thus said the word of God. I'm not getting outside of scripture. Now, what the difference between Adam was, Adam got outside of scripture. The moment he did, he couldn't overcome the tactic of the lie. Couldn't overcome it. Because then, when you get outside of scripture, what do? You put in question what God said. The moment you do that, you put in question, did He really say that? Did He mean what He said? Is He really going to do it? Why is He holding out on me? I could be God, but He made me like this, lower than the angels. That's a bad spot to get in. A lot of people stay there, and a lot of people stay there almost the entirety of their Christian walk. They go to church on Sundays, and they still stay at that. They always allow themselves to be put in a position where they're susceptible, and as they're in that position, they step into it. Scripture's behind them instead of in front of them, and now they're at the mercies of Satan. Whatever he says, you're never going to be good. You can probably go back. Yep. You keep doing it. That's what you are. You're a quitter. You're never going to make it. You go to church for a little while. You feel good about yourself. And all of a sudden, you're right back doing the same thing. That's all you ever going to be. And you believe that. Well, I'm going to tell you, you keep believing that, That's what you'll be. But the Word says something different about you. The Word says you don't have to do that. When you are redeemed by the blood, you are redeemed. He takes you out of the miry clay. When you're refashioned or built, you're made new. That's why he calls it being born again. He's not just taking what's already born and fixing what's born. He says, calls it born again. You go through the whole process of being brand new. That's awesome. And so I want you to understand those principles. So we're going to switch. You can switch this. Go to Hallelujah. It'll be up there at some point. I sent it to the computer down here. If not, that's fine. We'll go along with this. But I want to do this, and I'm going to show you this morning the value of understanding who the Father is. Because once you know who the Father is, it's going to help. Now, how many here, if it be one person, think about this. If it be one person that God was giving you an opportunity to minister to, wouldn't it be better for you to go back over the thing that established your footing in order for that one person to hear it? Wouldn't that be something? You know how many opportunities God gives us that? But we always want to keep going. Well, I'm going to find something new. I'm going to find something different. That's all good. Listen, I love to study. I love studying. I love getting in the Word of God and looking up, just looking at the wonderful things that I don't know about, the mysteries of the Word of God. But man, I tell you what, this morning I got up and I was asking the Lord, and I went back and I started going back over some of the things that I already know. But they keep doing stuff for you more and more. If you felt it the first time, go do it again and again and again. It's like it's brand new. The power of God and the wonder of God. And so looking at what we covered already, I want to take you through this. I want to take you through some of these scripture that we've been over already. Not all of them, because I added some, but they're toward the end of this. Probably not, I'm not sure I can get through it completely. But I want you to be able to see some of this. Now, I'm going to talk about to God be the glory. Did you find it? It should be just a few weeks ago, whatever. It should be there. It'll look like this. So the beginning of it, how many understand when I talk about the Father, I'm talking about who? I'm talking about God, right? Elohim. The word Elohim is what we talked about last week. In the beginning, God. That word God, you'll not find that nowhere. Nowhere are you going to find God in the original manuscript. What are you going to find? Elohim. That's what he was known as. Elohim. And we translate Elohim. We translate it to be God. That's the English. So now naturally people's going to make, when you say, talk about God, they're going to understand what you're talking about, because that's been around for years. But it's not the original. How many know the original is before anything that's been translated? It's the original. So understand, when I talk about the Father, I'm talking about God. Now, God has a name, right? He has a name, and that's called the Tetragrammaton. If you study it out, if you like studying or researching anything, look up the Tetragrammaton, and you'll find that God's name is Yahweh. Okay, so this is my name. He said, this is my name forever. No dice? Oh, boy. Somebody grab my computer. Go grab my computer from upstairs, and I'll get it to you quick so everybody can see this. Now, the reason is I got this next slide, and you really need to see this, because it's going to be something that I will do, and I'll probably be, you can leave it there. I'm going to send it. I'm going to send it right quick to you from, yep, I'll send it right quick. The next couple weeks, I'm going to cover some of the truth and tradition. Again, I'm going to go back through it. Because there's a reason for it. We, as individuals, no matter what we think, we're just going to look at what the Word says. Look at the Scripture and see what God says concerning this. Because it's important. It's valuable that we understand these principles. So I'm going to go through that. So I put it in this slide. I didn't originally have it there at the beginning, but I put it in for a reason, because I want you to see what's being spoken here. Let me send this real quick. That way y'all can see what I'm talking about. All right, just refresh it. You should have it come up there. So I'll be talking about that in the next couple of weeks. Then I'm going to be refreshing everyone, starting at the beginning of the year, on the feast days. We're going to be looking at that because we're going to get ready. Our feast times are going to be approaching us again. So I'm going to catch up with me. Let's go back from the beginning. Go to the next one. To God be the glory. We're going to be doing. Go to the next one. Elohim, Yahweh the Father, talking about the same thing. We're talking about God. God's the Father of Jesus. So I want you to understand that. That's the theme in the Bible. And this is what the Lord said to me this morning. He said, if you want to hunger and thirst, you're going to hunger and thirst for what drives you, and that's getting to know the Father. Once you know the Father and you keep understanding, you're going to hunger for more of who He is. If God revealed Himself all at one time to you, we wouldn't be able to handle it. So He reveals Himself through His Son to us. That's important. That's why nobody can go to the Father. That's the goal. What's the goal? To get to the Father. Are we with the Father yet? Not yet. The only thing I have is by faith. By faith, I have access to the Father. I'm not with the Father. Now, by faith, I have communication with the Father in prayer. That's why He said, when you pray, this is what Christ says, when you pray, pray like this, our Father. Not only is He Christ's Father, He's our Father. So how many recognize God as your Father? See, that's a big, big troubling thing in the church world today. People recognize God as some deity, but they can't even get close to Him. But He wants us to recognize Him as our Father, which art in heaven. Where's God? The Father in heaven. That's important. Hallowed be thy name. So we honor His name. We praise His name. There's no name greater than your name. And the prayer goes on. So that was what I was showing you. And I want to continue you to see that. Go to the next one. This truth and tradition. We must draw a line between truth and tradition. We must. So I have this series. I went through some of it. Some of these, never did I finish all of it. Because I'm going through, and the Lord says, okay, stop right there. There's a reason for that. Some of this stuff, if I do it all in one setting, you're going to think I lost my mind. Well, most people do think I lost my mind already. But I got to keep some people thinking I'm sane a little bit. So I stop every now and then. Don't tell me that you hadn't had that happen. All of a sudden, you go home and go, whew, I don't know, pastors. I mean, tell me something that's easy. It's troubling. Make you stay up at night. Well, ain't no sense in me staying up by myself. Amen? So the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to recover these biblical holidays, right? Raise your hand if you see Christmas up there. I'm looking. No. So I'll take care of that this week. Next week, maybe. Next week, maybe the week after. We're going to look at that. This is what the scripture says. We're going to look at that. Most people in church today, most, have never participated in the biblical holidays. Never. They have no concept of them. If you're going to get to know the Father, guess what the Father is going to say? These are my feast. These are my feast, not Jewish days. That's been a misnomer. It's been terrible, terrible, terrible. And again, that's the father of the lie, the liar, the father of lies. He sells that to people. Causes separation, disconnect. Christians are the new thing. Jews aren't even considered Christian. Because Christian are Christian, right? So in America, let's talk about America. Most of the people in America claim to be Christian. Most. Isn't that something? If you're not one of them, you're in the minority. Because most Christian people in America claim to be Christian. Most. Now that's different in Nepal. In Nepal, it's less than 1%. Think about that. Less than 1% claim to be Christian. So if you're Christian in Nepal, you're in the minority. If you're not Christian in America, you're in the minority. It's crazy, isn't it? Wow. Over 75% of people who live in America claim to be Christian. You go around, just take your own poll if you want. Say the next 100 people I run into, I'm going to ask them if they're Christian. Right? You can go anywhere, too. You can take that poll in a variety of different places. Do it in Walmart, at the club, wherever. There's no distinction. You can be in the club. Hey, you Christian? Yeah, man. Let me tell you. I've been a Christian for a while now. So it doesn't matter. It's not location that you do it that makes, you know, we're not talking about going in the Bible Belt and doing it. It don't matter. You're going to run into every now and then and say, oh, no, I don't believe in God. But the majority of your 100 is going to be, yep, I'm a Christian. What does that mean? What does that mean when you say I'm a Christian? What does that mean? Well, by definition, it means Christ-like, right? I'm Christ-like. When did you ever see Christ in the club? When? Or doing some of the things that as a society we're okay with. When did you ever see that? Because Christians Christ-like. See, that definition of Christian has kind of been, it's all over the place. It's broad, with a broad stroke. You could be Christian here and way over here and it's anywhere in between. But that's not how God puts it. He kind of makes a dot. It's like a dot. You're in that dot. Well, let me tell you, it's hard to be in the dot until we break off a lot of things, right? So we're going to talk about that. Now, let's go through this fast as we can. Now, everybody get your paper, pen, whatever you use. We're going to go through some. Does Jesus have a God? That's the question. Does Jesus have a God? Well, it goes along with what I was originally going to talk about. Does he have a God? Well, that's an odd question if you believe he is God. It's a waste of question. If you believe Jesus is God, then why would you ask the question, does he have a God? It's a wasted question. Well, he's God and we move on, right? But I'm asking the question because he repeatedly talks about it throughout Scripture that he does. So if he has a God that he prays to and he worships, to me, that's a clear distinction that there's someone who is above Christ. Above him. Wow. And that's the one he wants you to know. Well, I'm going to submit to you who that is. That's the Father. Elohim, Yahweh. And that's the one we got to get to know, because that's the theme of the Bible. If you've ever been through the pages of the Bible, here it is, a lot of reading here. It's a lot of stuff. If you've been through this, and I've been through it, I don't know how many times I've been through it over the last 30 years, but I've been through it a few times. And my goal is to go through it once a year at least. Go through it, because I'm more interested, and I'm still interested after that many times. Think about it. What's the theme of this? If you read a book, if you like to read, if you read any book, you can tell somebody. We had to do book reports. You still do book reports in school? Think about it. We had to read like an actual book. Go to the library, right? You pull a book off the shelf. Now it's all computer stuff. You know, they could read electronically or whatever and do their books electronically, send it to the teacher electronically. I mean, that's stuff that's nice. But then it's actually, you go in and found this paperback book. Well, I couldn't stand to read in school. I mean, I had to sit next to the teacher. I was in the special seat. I mean, they'd pull me up right there on the side because it was easy for her to reach out and tap me. And I needed tapping because I was all over the place. Couldn't keep still. But I got interested in my last years in school reading. Like, wow, that's weird. Thought something happened to me. When I read this interesting book, and then I had to do a book report. Well, the book report, I'm getting ready, write about it, right? You're going to write? It was verbal. In front of everybody. Uh-oh. So, teacher would grab the book you read and start going through pages. Stop at one chapter and say, okay. She'd ask a question. If you read it, you pretty much know the theme of that book. So there wasn't no getting around it. How many know the theme of this book is getting to know the Father? That's the theme. The ultimate goal, if you go to Revelations, read 21 and 22. The Father is who you and I one day are going to be in His presence. So we need to be ready for that event. To be ready for that event without the help of Christ is absolutely crazy, because we'll never make it in His presence. So I want you to think about that. Now, does Jesus have a God? Revelations chapter 3, verse 11 through 12. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my Elohim. Who's the speaker? Jesus is the speaker, calls him my Elohim. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my Elohim. And the name of the city of my Elohim, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my Elohim. I mean, he keeps repeating it. That ought to tell us something right there. He's repeating that. Now, this is in addition to when I originally done it. I didn't put this in there. This was after I went back over it in order to share it other places. So I opened up with that question. So that's why it's going to look different than you originally. When I originally done this, this was not in here. Even though I might make a reference to it, I didn't have it in here, so it's in here now. So, and I will write upon him my new name. So even Yeshua HaMashiach is going to have a new name. I'll write on him my new name. You think he ought to have a new name? You better believe it. He conquered for you and I what we couldn't conquer by ourselves. Because we didn't know how to behave. Look, let's be honest. How many in here have trouble on how to behave? So we need a Savior. We need somebody to show us how to do that. And when we broke commandment, all of us, every one of us, we all fall short of God's glory. But Christ was the representation of the Father. He was the face of God, or the glory. And that is so important. Matthew 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Yeshua cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my El, what is El? My El would be my God, my God. My El, why hast thou forsaken me? What did he call him on the cross? He said, he's my God. Now, if Jesus is on the cross and he's praying to somebody that he's calling God, who is that? I want to submit to you, that's the Father. That's Yahweh. He's calling out to him. Can you imagine? There was points and times in our life we didn't even see that distinction. It didn't even make sense. We weren't even looking for that. But that's where hunger and thirst comes in. It was just something inside of you wasn't enough. And you started hungering and thirsting for more. There's got to be something more. And all of a sudden, God reveals himself to you. Okay? John 16, 32 through 33. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Who's with Jesus? The Father. He didn't say, because I am the Father. He said, the Father's with me. If somebody's with you, how many knows the difference between being alone and somebody with you? If I come to your house and I say, oh, you by yourself? And you say, yeah, and I'll look through the door and somebody's sitting there, I'm going to think you're crazy. I'm going to say, you alone? Yeah. I'll look in there and somebody's sitting there. You know the difference between being alone and somebody with you. How many know Jesus knew the difference? The Father was with him. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. I mean, you need peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. That's what he says. John 14, verse 6. Yeshua said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Notice that. What's the goal of the Bible? Get to the Father. How many want to get to the Father? Let me just tell you, practice this on a daily basis. Daily, you're seeking the Father. Why? And it's later on in here, but the Lord is bringing it to my attention now, so I'll say it. He said to the woman, in our Torah portion, we just had it. He said to the woman in our Brit Hadishah reading at the well, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father. Why? Because the Father seeks those to worship him. How are we going to worship him? In spirit and truth. Think about that. The Father seeks those to worship him. So when we get to come into church, we ought to give honor and glory and praise to Christ, because he's the way to the Father. But the honor, the glory, and the praise we give to Christ can in no way diminish what the goal is, to give honor, great glory, and great praise to the Most High. And that's how we show to be done. He gives us that information in the Scripture. Very important. Now, John 16, 1 through 3. Look at this. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. You shall be put out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth Elohim service. Think about that. These things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. How many see that? That's clear. They haven't known the Father nor me. Now, there's something about that statement. They have not known the Father. Now, access to the Father is through Christ. So he's saying that's a terrible spot to be in, to be introduced to Christ and never finish the race. How many remember when you... let me just ask this question, because I know there's several of you in here. I've been around and I've seen it happen to you. You came to Christ and you knew it. Nobody had to tell you. You felt it. It burned on the inside of you. Wept over knowing Christ. Seen you weep with my own eyes. And there was nothing fake about it. I knew it was genuine. I've seen people do it time and time again. But I also know now why they had so much trouble after that. They didn't know the Father. So instead of continuing in that relationship, building it, they go back. You know the Father. Who here now understands there's a difference between Christ and the Father? Can you see yourself doing that same silly stuff you did before? I mean, it don't even add up in your mind anymore. And before, it was like you was on the edge all the time. But now you just can't see it. Because there's something about the Father that you know that has changed your life. And that's important. So remember, they didn't know the Father nor me. How many see that? That's clear. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto Elohim by him. How many know Christ is able to save to the uttermost who come to God by him? What is the goal? Come to God. Come to Elohim. Who's Elohim? The Father. Yahweh. That's what our goal is. So we ought to be... So we tell people, say, "Who? Anybody here want to come to Jesus or have a come to Jesus meeting?" Well, listen, we want you to know you got to go through Jesus, but we got to get people to the Father. See, we're not saying the whole thing. We got to tell them that, it's like, how many ever worked for somebody and you had a supervisor over you? You work for somebody, there's a supervisor. The supervisor don't own anything. They get paid like you get paid. They get paid more. That's why they supervisor. They don't own nothing. So the owner walks in. Right? Now the owner's there. And you look in there, supervisor, and there's the owner. They own the thing. So what are you going to do? You're going to give more honor to the supervisor, or are you going to give more honor to the owner? Think about that. So while you giving honor, well, I'm gonna keep my job. I'm gonna let my supervisor know I'm all on his side. Well, guess what? Your supervisor's saying, "Don't worship me. I don't want him to think I'm trying to take his glory." We gonna give all the honor to the owner because we both keep our job. How many understand that? Very important. Elohim is able, he said, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost who come to Elohim by him. By him. Think about that. He's our access, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, I want to give all the glory and all the honor to the Father, but without having access to the Father, I wouldn't be able to do that. So there's a certain praise and a certain honor that we ought to give to Yeshua HaMashiach for what he did for us. But you can never put him in a position of being the Most High, because he wouldn't even stand for that. He would never do that. He's been exalted to his position, exalted to that spot. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Messiah also had once suffered for sin, and just for the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to Elohim. Everybody seeing this? That's the goal. We want you to know who the Father is. We want to introduce you to the Most High God. And you get that access through what Christ has done. Being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit. I mean, understand that. Put to death in the flesh. If you're here and you don't believe that Jesus came in the flesh, you can't be saved. That's the spirit of Antichrist. That's what the scripture says. I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born at a virgin birth by a miraculous miracle, God provided the DNA, and it was put by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, and all of a sudden a miracle took place, and she gave birth to the only begotten Son of God without the aid of a human being. Think about that. You mean God will do that for me? Well, he scraped dust from the ground and made the first guy. And he already had in his plan before he gave it to Adam, dominion. He already had in his plan, don't worry. It's going to be all right. You're going to get seduced in the garden, But you can't outsmart God. I got a plan waiting in the wings. It's going to come into place, and I'm a redeemed man from iniquity and sin, and once again, we'll be in harmony in the garden. That's amazing to me. That's what keeps me going. I think about those things all the time. I'm like, wow, I want to serve God. Ain't nobody else doing that for you. Do you understand that? You can name all the known gods that people worship. They're not doing that kind of stuff for you. They're giving you empty hopes and empty dreams, but we're talking about the God who loves you so much that he made a way, no matter what you've been through, no matter what iniquity you've made, if you go to Christ, you could be forgiven. The blood can cover that sin. And then you got to get to know the Father for yourself, your own relationship. People got relationship to the church. And so if the church offends them in any way, they offended with God. That's absolutely crazy. You have your relationship to God. Now, if you get offended by God, you offended. Ain't nothing I can do about that, or God is willing to do. He ain't going to change his word for me, you, and nobody else. He said, if my word offends you, you're offended. So we're going to, listen, we're going to offend people. You put a bunch of people in the same room, that's how many ideas you got. That's the way it is. That's why you got to have somebody. You say, okay, we're gonna let you do, you're going to be in charge. If you ever went somewhere, how many have been somewhere? How many ever built anything? You build something. Somebody got to be doing it. We were here after Katrina, and we were running teams through here. Well, I don't know about running teams. I ain't never ran teams before. Not in construction. Well, we had Big Dave, the Amish guy. He come. Well, he'd been running teams all his life. That's what he did for a living. Well, we got team after team coming in. We had Amish teams, English teams, everybody mixed together. So one morning in particular, we had some projects needed to be done. Well, they had contractors from different various places, English contractors, Amish guys, and they're all sitting there going over it. Him hawing around about it. Big Dave ain't saying nothing. He's just kind of watching. Well, he'd been here the longest. He was the one that the Lord sent us. We put our full faith in what he was doing. And all the guys are looking around, talking about, yeah, we can do this and we can do that. Well, Big Dave said, you know, there's a bunch of ways we could do this. But today, we're doing it my way. Let's load up. Get your tools. Let's get some lumber. Because we got to go work. People need the house back. You can talk about it for a long time. But somebody got to say. You understand? That's important. So listen to me. He's bringing us to Elohim. He wants us to understand this. And it all happens by the Spirit. And so these things are for us, not against us. Now watch John 5:43. It says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, you will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another? You receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from Elohim only. Think about that. How many have ever been honored something? Who's been given an award here? From the time you was in school, you've been given an award. Maybe you had good grades, or you were student of the month, or you got an award for humanitarian reason, whatever. I received awards in different places for different reasons. I didn't say I don't want it. I took the award. I received honor from another. You received honor from another. Somebody might say, hey, that's great, that's good. You get told that a lot, and you receive it. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and not seek the honor that comes from Elohim only? Think about that. How many want that honor? Wow. We ought to seek him. Acts 3:13. And Elohim, the Elohim of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers, had glorified his son Yeshua, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Think about that. Who is that? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Think about that. All of that is important. He had to become that to them. How did he become the God of Abraham? Take thy son, thy only son. It's not easy for God to be your father. I know you say, well, okay, he's my father. Really? Do you do what he tells you? Abraham was, he was pretty close to God. But he needed to get to know him as his father. I'm the Elohim of Abraham. Meaning he ain't got nobody else. All he thought he had, he'd come off of him. Now, he came out of paganism. Abraham came out of that. And it was heavily steeped. That's why he said, leave your father and your kindred. You go to the place I'm going to show you. Get out of here. Don't take nobody with you. It was a separation time. How did he get to make him father? Take your son, your only son, Isaac. He promised Isaac and didn't give him to him for 25 years. He was learning something. You want to trust me? He had some bumps in the road in that trusting period. So will you and I. We're going to have bumps in our trusting period, but don't quit. Don't give up. What happens is you're going along and you're doing good. You're going to church. Everything seems like, man, I'm really seeking something now. And you hit a bump in the road. Don't quit because the tire fell off. You know what you do when a tire falls off? You get out. Does it stop everything? It sort of does. Everything kind of stops. And we all want progress. We want better for the next day. But it stops. But you get out. You get the tire. You put the tire back on. It's called repent. Go before your father and say, I messed up. I should have checked it, and I didn't. I knew they had one lug on it. It was my own fault. Nobody made me do this. So what David said, I and only I have sinned against you. I did this. I had one lug on when I got up on that rooftop, and I knew better. You ain't going to make it with one lug on. You got to tighten it up. You got to check things. It ain't going to stay working in all working condition forever. Some things are going to break. You got to look after them. You got to maintain. How many know what the word maintenance means? Some people need a new revelation on the word maintenance. You got to maintain. How you do that? You go to God and say, God, I need thee. I need you, Lord. I need you. I'm not going to make this journey without you. And I realized that. You say, I done prayed that prayer. Well, you pray it again. It's called maintenance. Tell him, I love you, Lord. And I know you love me. I see the scripture. And go back over those scriptures again. Apply them to your life again. Okay. How many of you ever bought something brand new? It don't stay new for long. It looked better than it does now if we'd have maintained it better. Some stuff gets old quicker than it should. Same thing with relationships. Some of them break because they weren't maintained. There was not a revisiting of the contract. There was not us going back and overlooking the rules and the regulations of what we promised each other. So we broke up. But if you maintain it, say, hey, we need to stop. We're going to run this baby with three wheels. We're going to tear stuff, more stuff up. How many know you run it with three wheels, the thing that wheel goes on don't last very long. Can you see how it can come crashing down quick? You got to take some time, stop, and redo it. That's what he's telling us. Acts 4, 18 to 31. Look at this. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Yeshua. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of Elohim to hearken unto you more than unto Elohim, judge ye. People are going to tell you stuff. Well, you know, at our church, or we don't do that. People are going to say stuff. I'm going to ask you this. It ain't about our church, their church. It's about what does Elohim say? Because they're going to say, don't do it. There's no reason for you to do it. We're going to command you not to speak in Yeshua. But Peter and John answered and said unto him, whether it be right in the sight of Elohim to hearken unto you more than Elohim, you judge it. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I'm telling you, when you get an encounter with the Father, you won't be able to help it. You won't be able to help yourself. You're going to speak about the things that you've seen and you've heard. It became real to you. Listen, I cannot reveal the Father to nobody. That is not my job. My job is not to reveal Him to you. I'm going to tell you about Him. But God will reveal Himself to you in His Word if you'll seek Him. If you seek him earnestly, he'll reveal himself to you. I can tell you that's a promise that he made. If you seek him, he'll reveal himself to you. Be your encounter. So that's why you got to watch. People get all wound up about who's the preacher. Don't get wound up about who the preacher is. The preacher ain't there to reveal nothing to you. Folks are getting their car, buy tickets for a plane and drive wherever they got to go, fly wherever they got to go to hear so-and-so. And if so-and-so ain't doing it, I ain't in it. Well, I tell you, that's a bad message to send. Because what about knowing him? Where's the last drive you made to know him? The last plane flight you took to know him? That's the message. But we don't want to say that. Because we love popularity. We love being the one people talking about. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's the wrong message to send. What we ought to be sending is we want you to know the Father. That's what we want you to know. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified Elohim for that which was done. Notice that. Why'd they glorify God? For what was done? They knew. They were up against it. But watch this. Turn 22. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. Think about that. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to Elohim. Now watch this. This right here, to me, this is a showstopper. This will make you say it again. They lifted up their voice to who? Elohim, to God, with one accord, and said, Yahweh, thou art Elohim. Notice that. Which has made, who made? The heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and all that in them is. Now, folks will take the hard scripture, like in Colossians, and said, by him was all things made, that was made in heaven. And they said, well, see, there it is. The Bible says Jesus was the creator. That's Colossians. What it says here? What is he creator of? See? Is he creator of the very things at the beginning? Well, that doesn't make sense. Because why would they not know it? They were personally with him. Why wouldn't they say it? I'm going to say it again. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Yahweh, thou art Elohim, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heavens rage and the people imagine vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers gathered together against Yahweh and against his Messiah. Notice that. Who they against? Yahweh. And who else? His Messiah. Who's that? Yeshua? Jesus? Now watch verse 27. For of a truth against thy holy child Yeshua. Man, I tell you what, we weren't here, we were somewhere else preaching. These are all added. In other words, I wouldn't have these. I got to that part, and I couldn't hardly contain myself. I looked around in the church, and other people were weeping. I said, listen, look what they said. And this is something that we have to understand. We have to get this inside of us. We got to see it. For of a truth against thy holy child Yeshua. Notice their petition to the Father. They did this against your holy child. Thy holy child, Yeshua, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now Yahweh, notice what they said. Who they keep talking to here? The Father. Now, Yahweh, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. Isn't that something? We're talking about New Testament church here. These are the beginning guys. Not what we got today. Would they go back? Yahweh, you see what's happening. They put your holy child. Notice how they, now, he wasn't a holy child on the cross. But would they go back to your holy child as a reminder to Yahweh, they did this to your boy. That right there will get inside of you. What happened to his boy? Let me tell you, ain't nothing to hurt a parent more than if something happened to their children. Their children get affected. But they're telling him. They say, and Father, we want you to remember, they did this to your son, your holy child. I want you to see that. When I read this, and I've read this, I can't tell you how many times, but it never got me like it did when I sat down and I said, God, if you got to show me, you got to reveal yourself to me. It's got to become real to me. It can't be what I think. And I hope this church understands that. It doesn't matter what I think. But it matters what God said. You know what they said? For to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined to be done. And now, Yahweh, watch what they say. Behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They put it out there. But listen how they remind. This is a prayer too. This is a prayer they're praying to the Father. Now watch what he says in verse 3. They continue to pray. By stretching forth thy hand to heal. Who's been praying and saying, God, we want healing. We want healing to manifest itself. You can pray this prayer. If I pray in it and you pray in it and everybody else starts praying it, let me know there's power in that. I'd be writing me down some acts. I'd be putting acts down in the fourth chapter. I'd be finding this and saying, God, we got to grab this. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done. Watch this. Not by Jesus. They didn't just say Jesus. What did they say? By the name of thy holy child, Yeshua. Look at the reminder again. Thy holy child. They were trying to invoke a move of God to let God knew, but he's glad they're getting this revelation. They did it to my son, and they're gonna pay for what they did to him. But I allowed them to do it because I want to save humanity. My heart is to save humanity. So I had to turn away. That's why he said, my God, why are you forsaking me? He knew what was happening because for the first time in his life, he experienced his own father turning from him. He knew his father so close. They were so close. They knew everything about each other. There was not a moment that he didn't have intimacy with the Father. He was the exact representation of the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because I act just like him. I talk like him. I do whatever he does. I don't do nothing else. I didn't come to do my will, but the will of the Father. Think about that. For the first time in his life, his father had to step back just a little bit, and he felt it. Why have you forsaken me? Now they reminded him in Acts. They did this. Stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Yeshua. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the words of Elohim with boldness. How many ready for this? Is anybody ready for this? You know why? We talk about what we believe in, but we don't believe in it enough to speak about it. We get a little ashamed. We do. Matter of fact, we get in spots where we don't even know what to say. What am I saying? And we succumb to the name calling. We succumb to it. So we're not going to say anything. We're just going to do what we do and be quiet and let people think whatever they want to think. And we succumb to it. Because we don't go to God and pray these prayers. They was up against it. You think you're the only one up against it? In this modern day we live in, God's trying to get his people, trying to gather us together, get the bride ready. He wants us to be right. He don't want nobody to miss him. So he's trying to say, come on, we got to let that stuff go. You got to let it go. Well, in the moment you do it, you the oddball. You the crazy folks. Let me tell you something. I've been a lot of things, but I ain't crazy. I can tell you this. I know the difference between what's crazy and what thus said the word of God. And you're going to chance everything. When you speak what God says, you're going to chance relationships, friendships. You're going to chance being put on the island. That's just the way it is. But so today, in this world, he told us you're going to have tribulation. You're going to go through things. You're going to be persecuted because of me. And then people's going to say all sorts of things because of me. You're going to have those things. But that's okay. Be of good cheer, he says. Be happy. Because I've overcome the world. You're going to be all right. And if this is what we have been signed up for, I can't speak for nobody else, but I know one thing for certain. This is what God said. If this is all we go through, we ought to say as Paul said, these light afflictions. That's what they are, just light afflictions. When you get the fact that the Father's going to come in your presence for real. Not like it is now. Now we look through a glass darkly. We can see but can't see. But one day, a face-to-face encounter, we're going to get that moment like Abraham got. Isaac, you trust me, Isaac? Are you going to do what I say? Are you going to really do what I'm telling you to do? Jacob, are you going to trust me? Are you really going to hold on with everything you got? He had to become the God of Abraham. Become the God of Isaac. Become the God of Jacob. Is he your God? Because until he's your God, it ain't happened today. Maybe not tomorrow, but it'll only be a day away. 2 days away, a week away, a month away, a year from now. Are you going to serve him? Are you going to be able to come out from all of the enticing things that are out there? Because until he becomes your father, you're in no relationship with him. You say, well, I know Jesus. Well, a lot of people know Jesus. Like I said, take your poll. Take some time and take your own poll. No matter where you're at, you can ask people, man, you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm Christian. Really? Do you know the Father? See where that goes. Do you know him? Let's see. Let's read Isaiah 42. We'll stop right here. Isaiah 42, verse 1 through 8. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, and whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus said El Yahweh. They're together. Thus said El Yahweh. He that created the heavens, stretch them out, he that spread forth the earth. Is anybody seeing this? He did it. That which cometh out, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. Verse 6, I, Yahweh, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Verse number 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prisons, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Verse 8, I am Yahweh, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Let me tell you, that is a powerful passage right there. Just that alone. We could have preached the entire service on that one passage. Think about it. Think about how awesome the Father is. And that's who Christ wants us to know. And I'm telling you, if you seek the Father, every one of you here, we leave from this place in a little while, we're going to go back to our regular routine that we have. If you seek the Father personally, just do this. Just run a test. Run a test for yourself. This is how much I know the Father and how true He is. Run a test for yourself. This week, make it a point to seek the Father early in the morning for this week. This week. I'm not asking you to do it for a month, a year. This week. Give yourself this week where you seek the Father early in the morning. Remind yourself, write a note to yourself, set your alarm, do whatever you have to do. But make it a point this week that you're going to seek the Father. It could be as simple as this. You get up in the morning, and before you get out of the bed, you sit on side of the bed. So you tell yourself, this is what I'm going to do. Make a promise to myself. If you don't promise yourself, you don't tell somebody, you probably won't do it. If you're leaving out, you'll take it. That's what humanity does. We leave ourselves out, we take it. We want the easy way. We don't want to put ourselves in a position where we're committed to something. But if you'll commit to it, say this week, for the whole week, I'm going to get to know the Father. So simple as this. You get up in the morning. You get up. Before you get on the floor of your dwelling, you sit there and say, Father. Let that be your first words, Father. Now let me just tell you here. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you can't even say Father and He listened to you. Just so you know, I just want to know that. So how do I know Jesus? Well, it's not a feeling, though it can be. But it's not. It doesn't say that it is. Can it be a feeling? You can feel. You can have an emotion, yes. But it doesn't say you have to. It says you have to believe that Christ is the one sent from God. You have to believe that. You're not waiting for another. You're not hoping for another. You're not expecting another. You believe that Christ is the one. You believe that. Now, you believe so much that you would adhere to what He says. What He says. What does Christ tell us? What He wants us to do? Well, He says, I want you to understand, I want you to know that if you, as believers, will just confess that. Confess it to some. Maybe you need to tell yourself. Tell someone else. Say, hey, you know what? For a long time I've been feeling something. For a long time I've been needing something. So today, by the Spirit of God, I'm making a proclamation. I'm proclaiming something. I believe in my heart that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Son of God. And that He's the Messiah that we need. He's the one that John talked about. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. If you believe those things, believe Him in your heart. You say, what is believing? Believing is not something that's difficult to do. It's not something that only certain people have. You believe in a lot of things. You believe in something so much, you follow it. You adhere to it. You identify yourself with it. That's what people do. They believe. That's what he says we must do. It simply means adhere to, trust in, and rely on. By definition, believing means trust in him. I trust him with my life. Think about that. Let me give you an example. It's been a while since I gave this example. And then we're going to pray. Because I want everybody here to be able to say, first thing in the morning, Father, I want to know you for who you are. That simple. If you humble yourself and ask that every day, I believe that God will reveal himself to you. So how do I believe? Here's what you know. Here's what you trust in. Believing is putting your faith in something. Believing is trusting in something. So we tell people, if anybody here wants to be saved, raise your right hand, whatever we do. You know, we do those things. And people raise their hand, I come forward, they go forward. But that's all outward emotional things, but they can go home still not believing. Still not trusting in him. Because then they're still doing it themselves. Let me give you a good example, and we're going to pray. There was this, how many ever heard of a circus? The circus was in town. And the crowds had gathered, and they had announced for the whole week, on the last day, there's going to be a grand finale. The guy would come out who was the world-renowned tightrope walker. This guy could just go at it, and it was just smooth as could be. So the whole stadiums are full, the wire stretched across, everybody's looking and can't wait. And here he comes. The light is shining on him. He's standing there, and he's got a wheelbarrow in his hand. Everybody was amazed. A wheelbarrow? What is he doing? And he just got in that wheelbarrow, and he started rolling that wheelbarrow on that rope. Man, I can't hardly roll a wheelbarrow in the yard. But here he goes, and everybody's just clapping. It's amazing. He gets to the other side. The one leading the circus gets on the microphone and says, "How about that? Wasn't that incredible? He's the best. He's absolutely the best. Nobody could do what this guy does. He's got perfect balance." He asked the crowd, "What do you think about it?" Everybody roars and clapping. He is. He said, "Okay, I need one family out the crowd to come and get in the wheelbarrow." Uh-oh. There comes, you get flooded with doubt right there. Well, he's good as long as I ain't in the wheelbarrow. See? But if you get in the wheelbarrow and you can still trust him, that's believing. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what folks don't want to do. They want to hang out. They want to do church. But they don't want to get in the wheelbarrow. Because if you believe that he is, you get in. And you can look back and say, "I know you got this." But here's what we want to do in life. Let me just tell you, you ain't the best. And I ain't the best, by no stretch. And we're going to be wobbling all through life trying to figure it out. Oh, you can get in the wheelbarrow. And let's be taken right across, smooth as could be. But to believe means you get out your seat where the crowd's going, "Yeah, he's the best." And you get the first one up there and get in and ride. That's what it means to believe. Now, that's the best way I can explain it. Because you get in, you trust in him, and he's going to take you to the Father. That's what I'm doing. Is it easy to do that? Well, once your feet leave the ground and you in the air, doubt and fear are going to come flooding your way. And you're going to say, "Why? What if he falls?" Think about that. And the enemy's telling, yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. Now, you don't know of a time. When did he fall? When did he ever forsake? When did he ever leave? He said, I'll never leave you. Never. I'll be with you. All the way to the cross, he was with them. They forsook him, but he stayed true. He said, you're going to leave me. You'll leave me just like the rest. But I'm going to trust. Well, he didn't ask you to do something he didn't do. Because let me tell you, there was a time, that's what was hard for people to get their mind wrapped around, that in Christ, God says, get in the wheelbarrow. I got this right here. They're going to crucify you. But you get in me. And in 3 days, I'm going to raise you back up and put you at my right hand, and I'm going to exalt you above everybody else. Wow. So he did what he's asking you to do. Trust in him. Do you trust in? Do you rely on him? Do you adhere to him? That's what believe means. Not just believing in an existence. The devil believes he exists. But he ain't getting in no wheelbarrow. He got his own show. Remember, he got a three-ring circus show going down on the road, and we all been in it. When the clowns come out, that'd be us. Unless I'm mistaken, ain't nobody here ever acted like a clown. But how many thank God we out of that? So how many ready to give it to the Lord? So listen, stand together. If you're here, you don't know Jesus, you know.